Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday. I'm Brian Shields. It's farmers market season. Are you a regular at your local market, or have you never been but always wanted to? Are you overwhelmed by the options? Once you're there, we have two people in the studio today who can answer all your questions about making the most of a trip to the farmers market and what to do once you come home with all your goodies. Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatheridge Farm in Preston Hollow is here. He's the ruler of the kitchen at the cafe. Carol Clement is also here. She's the owner and farmer at Heatheridge. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Also, you can get in touch with us online. Check in on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us, WAMC Vox Pop. There's always email to voxpop@wamc.org, but it is a call-in show, 800-348-2551. Rob and Carol, thanks for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
You know, this is late spring, early summer. We usually think of the harvest in the fall. So what's in the farmer's markets now?
Well, right now, there's a ton of asparagus. Mm-hmm. The local farms where we are down in Greene County have plenty of asparagus. This is the first week that there's been strawberries available, which is exciting for all of us. And a lot of farms have some greens that they've been growing in high tunnels. So they're plastic tunnels that help boost the temperature a little bit so they can grow some of those early season crops.
We had Fred Breglia of the Arboretum in yesterday talking about last winter was so mild that it sort of stunted some of the growth of some of the fruits and some of the vegetables. Have you seen that?
Well, we don't raise fruits and vegetables at our farm in particular, but talking to some of the farmers that I know, you know, I source all of our food through other local farms. One of the big problems that they had was the early season in early April, there was that snowstorm, and that put a damper on a lot of the crops. And then there's been this kind of lingering cold weather after that that's really stunted. So we aren't where we should be at this time of year.
Carol, you're the farmer. How's the soil these days?
I thought it was going to be an early spring because the winter was so mild, but then spring was not. So for me, who really pays attention to the grass was right about where it should be, but the trees seem to be behind.
Yeah. Are the crops, what's coming up now, is it a little less than you expected, a little more?
The grass is about just right, and that's my main thing.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the farmer's market right now are the non-vegetable stuff. Things like, you know, if you're a livestock farmer, you would be bringing mostly frozen meat, poultry, things like that. Fresh chicken is usually available at this time. This is enough time to do poultry outdoors. To have them ready for the farmer's market. A lot of us time it to be ready for. A lot of the markets start around Memorial Day weekend, so we time our first batch of chickens to be ready then.
800-348-2551 is the number to call today on Food Friday Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Chef Rob Handel, farmer Carol Clement are our guests today. The number to call, 800-348-2551. One of the local supermarket chains recently announced it would be selling what they call misfits. Those are fruits and vegetables that don't look maybe the way we think they're supposed to look. You know, they're not the perfect red apple, but they're just as good, just as nutritious, just as tasty. Do people expect to see fruits and vegetables that are, you know, I don't want to see any discoloring. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see that. No, it's got to be just perfectly round. Is that something that you face every day?
Definitely. And I think the small farms that go to farmers markets are more in that boat of they're not raising it to be uniform, perfect looking. It's certain varieties, the ones that you find more often in the supermarket, that are raised or, you know, genetically are meant to be the perfect round apple with no blemishes. You'll find a lot of things, whether it's fruits and vegetables or other products, that the small farms aren't going for that. We're looking for quality and flavor of good things to can, good things to eat immediately, rather than the perfect look.
800-348-2551. The calls are coming in. Let's start with Donna in Athens. Donna?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hi. I would like to know everything you can tell me about kohlrabi. What it is, what to do with it, and also, I have been to Carol's farm, and it is fabulous special place, so I recommend it to everybody.
That's my question. All right, what is kohlrabi? I've never heard of it.
So kohlrabi is a brassica, so it's related to cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, And it looks like something from outer space. It's this big green bulb that has these stems coming off of it. And you would typically trim the leaves off. The leaves are edible. Most people don't eat them, however. And you use the bulb, so you can peel it and you can grate it and make lovely cold salads like slaws, and kohlrabi slaw is really lovely. You could pickle it. You can add it to soups. I've made a pureed soup out of it, similar to like a broccoli soup. You can roast it. It's really nice. It has the texture and the flavor is similar to a broccoli stem, but there's so much more of it so that when you peel it, you have something left at the end. It's a really nice vegetable. It may be a little early for kohlrabi right now, but it's certainly maybe some of the farmers in the lower Hudson Valley have it, and it's something that will be around soon.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heather Ridge Farm in Preston Hollow is here. He's the chef there. Also with us today is Carol Clement, owner and farmer at Heather Ridge. We're talking about farmers markets, some early produce today on the program. 800-348-2551. Rob, what's going on in the kitchen these days? What are you harvesting and working on?
Well, we're really excited that now we're starting to get some local produce in, some of the fresh meats. You know, we're a livestock farm, so we really rely on the other local produce farms to supply us with all of those products. So we've been doing these great asparagus salads where we roast the asparagus and then chill it and toss it with ramps and pickled eggs and some mushrooms from Buelge's Mushroom Farm. They're a local farm in Catskill. So those are the kind of things we're really excited about right now. Strawberries, asparagus, radishes, spring greens.
Have farmers markets made chefs and customers more adventurous, do you think? Willing to taste things, willing to try things that maybe they were put off by maybe just a few years back?
Well, one thing that I think farmers markets have done is put the producer there in front of the consumer to answer any questions. You know, something that I get a lot at Heather Ridge, our setup there, people come into the kitchen to order their food. So I'm dealing with them directly while I'm ordering and preparing their food. And a lot of people come in and they'll bring in, you know, a package of lamb shanks. I've never cooked lamb shanks before. What do I do with these? How do I cook these? And that is what I think really enables people to take some of these things that they've never had before and feel comfortable buying them, bringing them home, and preparing them.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. 800-348-2551. Carol, how has farming changed since the explosion in farmers markets in the last 10 years, 20 years or so?
Well, I think a lot of the small farms who do go to farmers market, and it's a great outlet for, thank you, it's a great outlet for small beginning farms to get their stuff out, meet their community, and figure out what is going to work. And I find these farms are looking for more interesting varieties, things that you're not going to find in the farmers market, to give them an edge, to give people reason to come to the farmers market so that you're getting different things than you would get in your supermarket.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. We're talking about farmers markets, local produce, local farm to market programs. 800-348-2551 today on Food Friday. What's the most unusual thing you've seen in a farmers market that you didn't expect to see? Anybody?
Llamas walking by.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen llamas. What is it with llamas on farms? There's a farm near where I live, and they have a llama.
We have 5 llamas.
Yeah.
We use them as guard animals. They bond with the sheep and the goats, and they protect them. In 12 years of raising sheep, we've not lost a single one to predator because we've had llamas with them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're working animals.
Yeah, they don't strike me as really, you know, being vicious or the type that can really defend their turf.
Don't
they
mess with them.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, you got 2 L's in your first name. You better watch out. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Or you can, if you don't prefer the telephone, how about get us online? Check in on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email Vox Pop at WAMC.org. Let's talk to Hudson. Go ahead, Hudson.
Oh, yes. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I first want to say I'm very excited because Heather Ridge Farm is going to be coming to Catskill very soon. We're starting our farmers market there this coming Friday, June 3rd. So I hope everybody comes down to experience all the wonders that Heather Ridge Farm has. I did have a question that I was hoping Carol could speak to. You all have been talking about produce a lot. I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about what is the value of grass-fed beef. I know you have beef cattle, and I saw your pigs last week when I was out there. And it just if you could speak to that a little bit about why is that better for people to be buying?
Hi, Hudson. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Sure. For everybody else, this is Hudson Talbot, who's an author-illustrator who had a book signing at Heatherridge Farm last week. Grass-fed beef or lamb or goat, any of the ruminants that are all grass-fed, have a much higher nutritional value than those ruminants that are grain-fed. They're not meant to be grain-fed. That's an artificial way of raising them that we've been able to do in this country because we've subsidized the grains, corn in particular, so that's a cheap feed to put them in feedlots and raise them that way. The animals actually can't digest it right, and their pH is thrown off in their system, which leads to all kinds of problems like E. coli. You'll rarely have E. coli in grass-fed animals. That's something that comes from the animals eating grain. You also find that they have a higher omega-3s rather than omega-6s, which is more valuable to our own system. The animals are healthier. The resulting product is healthier. And as a farmer, walking around moving my cattle in the grass is much more attractive to me than having them sitting in a feedlot and hauling feed to them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's sure. Great. And I also like the fact that you're just right down the road from us in Catskill. So, you know, there's just, again, the value of the local economy and, you know, just not having to truck it so far.
So, definitely.
I appreciate that. So will you be bringing some of your meats to Catskill next week?
Absolutely. That's our main thing, is the meats and fresh chicken. We'll be bringing grass-fed beef, grass-fed lamb, probably a little bit of goat, lots of chicken, and maybe a couple of ducks as well.
Oh, that's great.
And we'll be serving our famous Oinkin Moo chili, which guess what's in it?
Can't wait.
Okay. Thank you, Hudson.
Thank you very much.
All right, 800-348-2551. One more calls in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with 3 rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org. The Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its 4th annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th, featuring 14 sites around Lake George, lakegeorgehikeathon.org for registration. Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York, new spring menus featuring local ingredients, asparagus pea soup, artichoke ramp salad, chicken with asparagus and morels, and more. TerrapinRestaurant.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
We're doing a Food Friday today on Vox Pop, all about farmers markets and fresh produce. Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatherridge Farm in Preston Hollow is here also. Carol Clement, the owner and farmer at Heatherridge, 800-348-2551. Carol, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, following up more on what Hudson said, for people who are interested in the methods of doing all grass-fed and rotational grazing and how that's done, we often have farm tours on our farm, both for farmers, for consumers, and for people who just want to see animals, to explain the methods and what the differences are. It's really important for us to be really transparent with our consumers. And I think whether it's coming to a farm store like us or coming to us at a farmer's market, we also do the Lexington Farmer's Market. You get a chance to talk to the farmer and find out what their methods are and what they're doing. And that helps clarify the mystique of what do you mean by grass-fed? What do you mean by organic? You know, if you can really talk to the farmer about what their methods are, sometimes those labels aren't understandable or clear or what's legal and what's enforced. But if you can talk with your farmer directly or even visit their farm, then you're way ahead.
We have an email from Karen in Gallupville. Farmers markets have a great selection of vegetable plants this time of year. For those who want to grow their own food but don't have time to start their own seeds, they can pick up ready-to-plant seedlings at the market. So it's also part of a greenhouse maybe too?
Well, you know, the vegetable farms have limited available at this point, but they can also be growing starters for that. So it fills up the market. You'll have other things like honey, maple syrup, the non-perishable stuff to add to what's at the farmers markets this time of year.
This is Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC. Nick in Westfield, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call
today.
Go
right ahead.
So I think that there is a very specific crowd who go after farmers markets and visit them regularly. But I think it's something that could really benefit our society as a whole. And both the Hudson Valley region and the Pioneer Valley region have a lot of awesome local farms. I'm wondering if you guys have ideas how to reach out to the populace as a whole and bring what you guys serve to them.
Well, you know, one thing that I think helps with that is all of the media attention that food gets these days. You know, an interest in food has become a hobby in a way that it hasn't been in a very long time. So I think that as people become interested about food, there is a natural progression towards, you know, eggs seem to be a good a gateway product for people looking to get into farm fresh food. You know, everybody wants to buy local eggs and pasture raised eggs and this kind of thing. And there is a natural progression. I'm not sure how to expedite that process and get more people interested in going to the farmer's market instead of the supermarket. One thing that I do think helps with that is that a lot of farmers markets offer a really varied range of items now. You know, in the past, you've gone to the farmers market and got mostly produce. Now you can find a wealth of local cheesemakers, other dairy, produce, meats, eggs, honey, maple syrup. The more variety that's there, the fewer stops you have to make, and it's more convenient for people. And I think that's a big key. You know, at Heather Ridge, in addition to our meats, we offer local dairy, local butter, maple syrup, honey, wool products, pottery, all of these local products. And people are able to come and do the bulk of their shopping there in one trip rather than have to go to all of these individual farms. And I think that's a great way to get people more enthused about going to the farmers market.
That's awesome. So it's almost a return to sort of the corner store, neighborhood store idea.
Very much so, yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, farmers used to bring their products to market every day, didn't they? They'd load it up in the cart and bring it into the town square or wherever. So this is just sort of a return to that.
Exactly.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Bridget in Poughkeepsie, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I've seen fiddlehead ferns, and I would love to know how to cook them. And if you can grow them yourself.
Yeah, so fiddlehead ferns, if you're still finding them at local markets, they're probably coming from all points north because they're definitely done in our region now. But, you know, they still have them up in Maine and, you know, going up in that direction. To cook them, it's important that you cook them thoroughly. They're perfectly safe to eat once they've been properly cooked, but there is a mild irritant in there that you have to really cook them well to destroy that. It's something that's heat liable, so it dies when you cook it. So usually it's advised that you steam or boil them for 15 minutes, and then you can use them in a variety of different things. You know, after that, you can chill them and make a lovely salad with some ramps and lemon and something like that. You can add them to soups, you can saute them, you can pickle them. They're really adaptable, and their texture is similar to asparagus, and the flavor is similar to a cross between maybe asparagus and green bean, people say. So it's a really nice, fresh, green-tasting vegetable that's really well-adapted to a range of dishes.
Okay.
Can one learn how to grow them? I have tomatoes and peppers and all that stuff, but I don't know how. I mean, this is just from my own family, but I don't know how would you propagate them?
I believe that you are able to propagate them. I've never done it, but I know people who have patches do tend to the patch and, you know, monitor its health. They do need some damp soil, and I think that they do prefer certain types of trees. I couldn't tell you which off the top of my head. But from my understanding, the spring thaw, when everything thaws in the spring and there's a certain amount of water flow, that water flow is necessary for their growth. You know, they need to get that really good drenching in the spring. So a low-laying damp spot, if you have a spot like that in your property, might be good for growing them.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. The call is really coming in now on Vox Pop on this Food Friday as we talk about farmers markets and seasonal produce with Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatheridge Farm in Preston Hollow and the owner and farmer at Heatheridge, Carol Clement. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to in front in Troy. Drea?
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment about the grass-fed beef. I've been a vegetarian for many years, although I'm a little more lax now than I used to be. And one of the reasons was that in order to grow beef, you have to use about 10 times as much food that, especially if you're feeding them with grains, you would use for every pound of beef you get, you would use 10 pounds of food that would otherwise be able to be eaten by people, such as, you know, soybeans and corn and that kind of stuff. And considering that they're doing things like cutting down the Amazon rainforest in order to grow grains to feed cattle so that we can have McDonald's hamburgers, it seems to be much more reasonable to not eat things that are so resource intensive. But when you do grass-fed, people wouldn't otherwise be eating grass, so actually grass-fed is a much more ecologically sane way of growing beef.
Thank you. You're absolutely right.
And another note on that, in addition to that, the grass also actively sequesters carbon, so that the more grass-fed beef farms are out there, the more carbon is being sequestered and taken out of the atmosphere. So you're certainly correct about that.
And strong grasslands really avoid erosion. We've had a couple of really terrible hurricanes in the past 5 and 6 years, and all the sod that we use for our grass-fed cattle, all our pastures, we had no erosion at all. They have really great root systems that really hold the land together.
David in Rensselaerville, go ahead. You're on Vox Pop.
Yes. Hi, Carol. I love your farm.
hi.
My garden is full of daffodils, and some daffodils, but mostly dandelions. How can I prepare the leaves? Are they edible, and how do you go about using them?
So the dandelion leaves are certainly edible. They're really best before they flower, however. They're pretty bitter, so once they blossom, they get particularly bitter. You still can use them. One thing that helps with that is cooking them in a way that involves some fat. So a lot of bitter compounds are soluble in fat, so the fat helps to mitigate some of the bitterness. Along with that, salt also helps with bitter things. So
I cook them like kale, maybe?
One of the things that's the classic dandelion green dishes is to sauté them with bacon. So the salt and the fat in the bacon helps to mitigate the bitterness. Another great trick is to mix them with a milder green. So, you know, you might make a big batch of sautéed spinach and add some dandelion greens in so that you kind of temper that flavor.
And are they rich in vitamins?
Yes, they are. They are. And for people who are interested in cooking foraged greens and foraging for greens like that, we're doing a foraging class next Saturday starting at 5 o'clock. And we'll be going out into the field doing some foraging, bringing everything back, and then I'll be explaining how to cook all of these things that people don't have a lot of experience cooking.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And I was going to say, everything is better with bacon.
No argument here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 on Vox Pop. Tina.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. My husband and I attend the farmer's market in Kiksaki, and I had a question about, as someone who has been a small food vendor myself in another life, how can we possibly maybe get more of the vendors to accept credit cards? I know a lot of people have smartphones. That's how I would do my credit card processing with Square, or there are other venues out there.
Well,
is there a way to perhaps educate people a little bit more about, hey, you'll make more money, I will buy more things?
Yes, it's very important. We take credit cards, and if your farmer's market is an area where you can get cell phone service or Wi-Fi, it's very mm-hmm. easy for the vendor to get a smartphone or an iPad or something and take credit cards. That's a very efficient way to do it. If you're in an area where it doesn't take, what we have is the old-fashioned knuckle buster, you know, that slides the machine. They're giving them away these days. Slides it over paper. And then when you get back to the farm, you enter the information into your credit card system. At this point, we find that probably half of our sales at the farmer's market comes in with credit card charges.
So you definitely see that increase. I know I did. I dye wool yarn, and I know that when I went to credit cards, I saw a definite increase in sales. And I know that, you know, margins can be very lean for the small farms. I just wish that it, you know, if they could understand, it's like you will definitely sell more things. We only carry so much cash. I mean, I never have cash.
Well, people carry a limited amount of cash. They never carry checkbooks anymore, and they expect to be able to use credit cards where they go. So it really does make sense for the farmers market vendors to have them.
Thank you very much for calling. Thank you, Tina. 800-348-2551. All about farmers markets today and seasonal produce. Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatheridge Farm in Preston Hollow is our guest, along with Carol Clement, the owner and farmer at Heatheridge. And your call's always welcome. 800-348-2551. Jackie in Lake Katrine, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about the farm workers that work on the farms where the farmers typically go to farmers markets. And, you know, like many people that go to farmers markets, I'm interested in sustainable food, but sustainability also means sustainably grown and sustainably harvested, including the people that are involved. So how do you know if a farmer at a farmers market is applying fair labor practices on their farm?
Well, it gives you an opportunity to talk directly with the farmer and ask the farmer what he or she is doing. Some are family farms, and it's just the immediate family that's working on it. That some farms will let you come visit them and see how it's being done. I guess, you know, you have to trust that the farmer is explaining to you what is going on, or see if you can visit the farm.
That's terrific. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. Our next caller is from Altamont. Another kohlrabi question. Kathy. Kathy?
Hi.
Hi, go
Thanks
ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. We grew up eating kohlrabi. And what my mom and grandmother did was to pare, you know, take the outer peeling off of the bulb, slice it, cook that in lightly salted water. And while that was starting to cook, they would just take the leafy part of the leaves and, you know, throw away the stem on the leaves and sort of cut those like in ribbons and throw them in the pot. And then when everything was cooked, use an Einbrenn out of bacon fat and flour to thicken the water that was on it and add a little nutmeg. And it was great.
Sounds good.
Sounds lovely.
Thank you very much. Does kohlrabi come under another name or something? I've never heard of it. Just
no. It's always kohlrabi. It's a German vegetable. It's very popular in Germany, and it doesn't have a huge following in America yet. But I use it frequently at the cafe. We source great kohlrabi through Barber's Farm in Middleburg. And it's really, really nice.
This is Vox Pop on WAMC. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Food Friday. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. TJ's Taylor Rental and Party Plus, owners Jim and Tamara Falcone, providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJsTaylorRental.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with four locations in the Berkshires, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. In Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com.
Food Friday on Vox Pop, where it's all about farmers markets and seasonal produce. Today, our guest, Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatheridge Farm in Preston Hollow. Also, Carol Clement, she's the owner and farmer at Heather Ridge. 800-348-2551. An email from Bobby: you should not eat dandelion greens from your yard if you use any weed preventatives or fertilizers. Probably not.
No.
So I guess you got to be careful. You're going to be talking about foraging later on, so you got to be careful what you're pulling out of the ground, don't you?
Yeah, you certainly want to be mindful when you're foraging. You know, it's advised that you don't forage near roadsides. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't want to be foraging someplace where you don't know if they've been applying some sort of chemical to it. So a lot of it is just common sense about, you know, looking at the surroundings, what could have been applied here. You know, if you're foraging on your own property in your backyard where you know that you haven't applied any sort of chemicals or anything toxic, you should be fine.
And you always got to look out for those mushrooms. You got to know your mushrooms, don't you?
Yeah, well, so the classes that we do don't focus on mushrooms because that's kind of a whole nother I forage for a lot of mushrooms myself, but that's kind of a whole nother skill set.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Peter, go ahead.
Hello. I have a couple questions. One is we're starting off doing a small farm, and I'm curious to know what's a common mistake most small farmers make. And how to go about developing a specialty from the farm?
Well, I think you need to network with other farms around you. You need to see what everybody else is doing. You need to make friends with them, and you need to make sure that you're doing something different than what they're doing. Either pick a different crop, whether it be livestock or vegetable or fruit, or prepare it in a different way, or find a different place to market it so that you all are working together. We all need each other to make this big sustainable ag movement float, to make all these boats rise in the water. So you want to make sure you're not stepping on the toes of another farmer nearby.
Sure.
So it's really networking. The networking among farmers is critical. It's one of the nice things about a farmer's market is you go and meet other farmers that are in your community, and you get a chance to talk with them, compare notes. What are you thinking about growing next year? What didn't work for you? There's a lot of information sharing among the vendors at farmer's market, which is very valuable.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and good luck on your farm. 800-348-2551, the number to call. We're going to Catskill. Leah, go ahead.
Hi. Hi there. How are you? Thank you very much for this program and for speaking about farmers markets and sharing your expertise on food products. I just want to make a quick comment about ramps and fiddleheads. What we've discovered up here in the Catskills, we live right on the edge of Catskill Park, is that there's a whole bunch of wild crafters and who will sell to local markets, and what they really are is poachers. They'll come up through the state park, and they'll rip out acres, like truckloads of ramps, and sell them to farmers' markets, sell them to health food stores, to anywhere they can. Adams carries them. Some of the big retailers actually sell them. And what they're doing is irreparable damage to the habitat here.
What's a ramp?
It's actually a leak.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the ramps, they're a wild leek. They're in the Allium family. There's a lot of controversy about this topic. As far as Heather Ridge goes, I forage all of our ramps. I do it sustainably. And I do source some fiddleheads through a good friend who has a fiddlehead patch on his property that he maintains. Adams, for instance, I know that they've recently, this year they've implemented a new policy where they're only selling the leaves from the ramps. The issue around the ramps focuses on the fact that it takes about 5 to 7 years to grow the actual bulb on the ramp. So if you come through every year and harvest large amounts, you don't give the patch enough time to regrow. And this has become a large issue. Adams, for instance, now only sells the leaves. You can harvest some of the leaves sustainably, leaving the bulb in the ground so that it can continue to grow and you don't have that 7-year lag time.
That's not what the wildcrafters do. What they do is they come through here and they rip all the leeks out because the ramps are, it's really hard to trek up in the mountains and do this. So they're as fast as they possibly can be about getting them done. And what they do is if they're selling to Adams, they just cut the bulbs off and sell Adams the leaves.
Well,
they're
I can't speak to what the wildcrafters are doing, but I certainly advocate sustainable foraging practices for all of these things.
Is there some sort of organization, either voluntary or ad hoc organization, that sort of brings all the farmers markets together to try to produce a good practice in selling and growing and harvesting?
There are some organizations that work with farmers market, but I think this is an issue of overall consciousness. You need to have the chefs turn away the products that are not done sustainably and ethically. The chefs, the stores, not just the farmers market, but across the board. And it's an issue that is growing in consciousness and more people are aware of it. And that's where it's going to get addressed. Something like ramps becomes popular and fashionable. And then in a few years, they won't be. So you hope that the damage isn't done in the meantime as the consciousness of people is raised about the problem.
I know there's laws about poaching animals. What about poaching plants? Is there?
There are laws. There are certain plants that are on the endangered or the threatened species list that the different states set up. For example, ginseng is
This really, if I could speak for just a moment, this ties into a greater issue that the local food movement is going through right now, one of the growing pains. Is that everything, all of these foraged ingredients, all of this local food, it's become so popular that a lot of places can put a label on it. You know, this is local, this is foraged, this is, pastured, grass-fed. And a lot of people aren't questioning that. You know, they're taking it at face value. And then people say to me, well, how do I know that the steak I had at that restaurant was from a grass-fed cow, And really the only answer for any of these topics, whether your foraged ingredients were poached or were foraged responsibly, or whether the beef is grass-fed, whether the farm is using best management practices, the only answer to how you can tell, there's no litmus test for this. The only way that you can tell is by actually talking to the farmers, talking to the restaurants. It really requires a lot of communication to form a relationship with these people and be able to feel that you can trust what they're telling you. You can trust, you go to this restaurant all the time and you can trust that they do source their beef from this farm, that they do, follow all of these practices. So that's really the most important thing at this point.
Let's talk to Bob in Johnstown. Bob, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to talk a little bit about the food co-ops. I'm a regular at farmers markets, but I also love to shop at my local co-op in Gloversville, the Mohawk Harvest Co-op, and they serve a really important role in offering an outlet for local farmers to sell their food to, sell their produce. And I know our produce buyers, and I'm sure from most other co-ops, the buyers form really close relationships with the farmers that they deal with. So, you can get food, good quality food at the co-op on the days when the farmer's market isn't open.
I agree, and that's a fabulous co-op. In fact, the co-op in Gloversville, the Harvest, what's the name of it?
Mohawk.
Mohawk Harvest. Thank you. Carries our chicken.
Thank you very much for calling, Bob. 800-348-2551. We're doing a Food Friday today on farmers markets and seasonal produce. Your calls are welcome at 800-348-2551. Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at Heatheridge Farm is here, as is Carol Clement, the farmer and farm owner at Heatheridge. 800-348-2551. Charles in Cummington, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Earlier in the program, a gentleman called and asked about dandelions and daffodils growing intermixed, and were they edible? No one answered the part about daffodils. Should be very cautious. Daffodils are extremely toxic. They're not poisonous, but they're toxic. That's why mice and other voles and things will destroy all your tulip bulbs and many other bulbs in the winter under the snow, but they will not touch a daffodil. Deer will graze on tulips and things, foliage, but they will not touch the foliage of a daffodil. However, daffodils cannot be mowed down when they've stopped flowering, because it takes them almost 2 months to absorb enough energy from the sunlight to make the bulbs strong enough to produce the flower the following year. So I always make sure that my meadow is not mowed until after the 4th of July. But don't eat the daffodils.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. Let's move on now to Lisa in Charlotte.
Hello, thank you. So I just gonna make a comment on the dandelions, too. You can put a little vinegar or rinse them in vinegar to get the bitterness out. And they're really good with butter, real butter, not margarine. The other thing is, can I mention an organization that I work with here in Vermont?
Mm-hmm.
They're advocates of farmers here in Vermont. That's how we have raw milk, and we can get raw milk, and they're trying to work on farm slaughter. And they're the Rural Vermont. You can go on their website and become members. They're a very important organization that works around all these things that people are talking about, and being able to distribute the food that people grow. And so wanted to mention that.
Thank you very much for calling. This is Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Woodstock, Patricia, go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about people that are on, food stamps and the WIC program. I had a question from someone today about that, using the farmers markets and how that can be established.
It can be. The market itself has to set up the program and have the individual vendors qualify for it. So there's paperwork that has to first start with the farmers market organizers and then recruit the different vendors to participate.
Oh, okay. So I should contact the people who run the farmers market here in Woodstock?
Yes. I know that in the Saugerties Farmers Market is able to take those things. So it can be set up easily.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
And the farmers markets have to contact the state? Is that
yes.
how it works?
Mm-hmm.
In the county?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Chris in Niskayuna. Chris.
Hello there. How are you doing today?
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about practices in terms of cleaning produce. Is there a set standard of cleaning practices for anything from lettuces to carrots, or does it really depend on the farm? What kind of cleaning practices are done?
Well, honestly, as a livestock farm, we aren't that familiar with the practices, the guidelines as far as that goes on the produce end of things. I can speak to my experience of purchasing lots of produce from a variety of farms, and there does seem to be a range. Some farms make sure their stuff is immaculately clean because people want that glistening, lettuce and things like that. Other farms, there's still some residual dirt on it. On a quality end of things in the kitchen, I'm not too concerned about whether the produce is terribly dirty or not. Some things, the lettuce, when you wash the lettuce, it starts to degrade a little bit faster. So I don't think that the cleanliness of the produce is an indicator of quality or not quality, but, you can certainly evaluate it on other standards.
Just a follow-up question. Could you comment on how you actually go about cleaning your produce when it comes into the kitchen?
Sure. So it really depends on the produce itself, of course. You know, things like tender greens, lettuces, and herbs, and things like that. I fill a big bin with cold water. And I will say I've noticed working with different people, a lot of people aren't familiar with how you have to wash these things because they buy greens in bags that come pre-washed. You fill up a bin with cold water. It's important that the water is very cold. You add the greens to the bin, swish them around well. And it's important that at that point you lift the greens out of the bin of water. You know, the dirt settles to the bottom. And if you just take that bin and dump it into a strainer, you're pouring all that dirt right back on top of the green, and people don't think about that. So I usually do 2 or 3 washes, depending on how dirty the greens are, and each one involves filling the bin with cold water, swishing, lifting the greens out of the water, and then drying them. Things that are a little bit hardier, like root vegetables and tubers and you know, cucumbers and things like that, those can just go into a bin of water. Sometimes they need to soak a little bit to soften the dirt. And then you can either use a soft vegetable brush or sometimes just your hands to rub the dirt off. And the last thing I'll speak about is mushrooms. There's a lot of controversy over whether you should, you know, brush off mushrooms or wipe them. I've had no issue with using water directly on the mushrooms if you're going to cook them immediately after. You know, I wouldn't wash a bunch of mushrooms and then let them sit around. You know, wash them and then cook them. They don't absorb a ton of water the way some people claim they do. And it's much easier that way.
Excellent. It seems like a great practice then. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Rob, it seems that whenever we think of cleaning something, we always have to use hot water, but you say cold water.
What? Yeah, well, the hot water will actually wilt the greens.
Yeah.
So, you know, for something like a lettuce, if you're making a salad, you'd want to use cold water. For some of the other things like green beans and those green vegetables, there actually is a chemical reaction where when the heat hits, you want to be able to cook them really fast and then cool them down again fast. So that's dropping them into boiling water and then dropping them into ice water. If you keep the temperature too warm for too long, they start to turn that dull kind of that dull kind of olive green that people associate with overcooked produce. So cold water is a pretty good standard across the board.
Let's talk to Peggy in Ghent. Peggy.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about ramps. Our property, we have a lot of ramps, you know, that just come up. How should they be cut? Or, I mean, I know you shouldn't pull them out because then you'll lose the bulb.
Yeah, so the general rule is that you should only harvest about 5% of the entire patch, and then that ensures that there's plenty there to continue to grow and to reseed. And then what you do cut, you should only take one leaf per plant. So there's usually 2, sometimes 3 leaves on each ramp plant. So if you only take one leaf off of each plant of the 5% that you cut, that leaves the other leaf there to continue to produce nutrients for the plant.
Right. Okay. And should you, like, cut it with a scissor or a knife?
A knife works well. You certainly could use scissors, but it is good to use something sharp so that it's a nice clean cut and you're not tearing it or anything like that.
Hey. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you both. Thank you for calling. And Carol, do farmers really get up early?
Yes.
With the roosters? Really?
Yes.
Are you up before the sun?
Usually, yes, I am.
Yeah. Why do they do that? Just to get the long day because you can't work at dark?
You work with the sun, exactly. Yeah. And as a grass farmer, you want those animals out onto the grass as soon as possible. Things like the chickens are put in movable huts at night to protect them from predators. You want them out on the grass as soon as possible.
What's the biggest myth about farming? We had that caller a while back who wanted to start a small farm. What do you think people don't get about farming?
I think people really don't understand how much work it is.
Yeah, it is a lot of work, right?
It really is.
Well, you're both. Thank you both for coming in today. Our apologies to those who were left on. Actually, we didn't leave anybody on the line. We got everybody in today, which
perfect
is great.
Timing.
Our guests today were Chef Rob Handel of the Bee's Knees Cafe at the Heatheridge Farm and farm owner Carol Clement. For more information about Heather Ridge Farm, visit our website, wamc.org. Support for WAMC comes from the Ashokan Center, presenting a uke extravaganza featuring 6 ukulele soloists playing jazz, Hawaiian folk, blues, and rock, Saturday, May 28th at 8. where nature inspires at shokincenter.org. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for more than 20 years, qfcc.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. Thanks to our engineer Zach Malloy, Barb King took your calls today, our producer Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. Thanks again for joining us on Vox Pop. I'm Brian Shields. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. No Vox Pop on Monday. Have a great holiday weekend. Stay tuned now for a news update.